scripture for that song, 1 Samuel chapter number 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Verses this morning. They'll be right here in 1 Samuel chapter 13. If you would stand in reverence to the Word of God, starting in verse number 10, 1 Samuel 13, starting in verse number 10. And look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. And I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." I want to look at verse 14, and that's where the message will come from, verse number 14. Notice right in the middle of that verse, verse number 14, the Bible says, "The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." A man after his own heart. And I want you to think about, as we've already taken a little bit of time in today's service as part of this Memorial Day weekend, and we've remembered, or tried to a little bit, remember those that have given their lives a sacrifice for us to have the freedoms in this country that we have, and also taking the time to remember the one that gave his life so that we could have freedom eternally. I want you to think about, as our minds are in that direction already of remembrance, and I want you to consider in your own life, as we'll look to these scripture, in your own life, whenever it comes to an end, think about it, and whether it be here in a church house or in a funeral home, wherever the case may be, that your body is laid there in a casket for those to pass by and observe and pay their last respects, maybe as the family would pass by, and maybe even some friends that you would have, and sometimes there's even foes that will pass by, and for some that are in this crowd, the FBI may pass through. But I want you to think about and consider, as those final moments people would pass by your casket, and think about you and those things that would be connected with your life, my life, and I want you to think about, what would they remember of you? What would their remembrance of you be? And even a step further, when your time comes to an end here on this earth, if the Lord tarries, not just those that will pass by your casket and observe your body there and pay their last respects, what they will think, but what will God think? What will be His remembrance, His thoughts of you in those final moments there, as people would remember back on your life? And I want to preach to you a message entitled, "A Bad Memory or a Lingering Legacy." A bad memory or a lingering legacy. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all your many blessings, and God, all that you've done for us. God, thank you for, God, the freedoms that we do have to be in your house, Lord, with your people. And God, the encouragement and the exhortation that we receive just from being around your people, and God, from singing the songs, Lord, that would glorify you. And Lord, calls us to think about all that you've done for us. And God, as we'll be able to open the Word of God now and look to it to encourage us and to exhort us. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be attentive to your word. God, may we remove any distraction that would cause us, Lord, not to hear from you. God, whatever that may be, it be a cell phone or someone that's sitting next to us, Lord, I pray that we would tune those things out. Lord, you would not allow Satan to use anything to distract us this morning, but God, that we'd be able to hear from you. Lord, not only would we be able to hear from you, but God, as you would speak to our hearts, I pray that, God, we would respond in the way that you would have us to respond. God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would use the service. God, I ask you that you would use me, Lord, as just a vessel. God, may people leave today, and Lord, they don't even remember who it is that preached the message, but God, may the message, the thoughts, resonate in our minds and in our hearts, God, and cause us, Lord, to be drawn closer to you. Lord, to live our lives, Lord, for you, and be what you would have us to be, God. Lord, I want to be a help this morning. But God, the only way that I can be a help, God, is if you help me. And I ask that your spirit, Lord, would flow through me. God, speak to each and every heart. And we thank you for all that you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'll give you a little bit of foundation leading up to where we're at. If you know anything about the storyline, you'll know that the nation of Israel, they decided, you know what, we want a king. They come to the prophet Samuel, and they say to Samuel, they say back in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, you can look back there in verse number 5, and they say, Samuel, we want a king. Give us a king. And I'll paraphrase a little bit, but they say, hey, we want a king. We want to be like every other nation. We've looked at the other nations around us, and we've seen how that they have someone that is a king that is over them, and they are the ones that determine the direction for them. And what a sad day. They got tired and frustrated, if you will, with the leading of God Almighty. And may I say to you as a Christian, boy, what a sad day in your life, in my life, whenever the leading of God, we get tired of it and we seek other avenues of direction. But that's what happened. And so God, tells Samuel. Samuel tells the children of Israel. He says, no, you don't want a king. Let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to come in and they're going to draft all of your sons into the army. They're going to take your daughters and they're going to make of them servants, and they're going to seize your land, and man, they're going to oppress you. The king, he'll oppress you with taxation and things of that nature. And God says to Samuel, Samuel, don't worry about it. Listen, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Leave it alone. And God allows them just exactly what they've asked for. God gives them the king in this man named Saul that we'll look at and we'll reference here in just a moment. Let me say for a minute, I won't chase every rabbit trail, I'll try not to, but let me just say this. The people ask God for a king, and boy, they already had the Almighty, the King of Kings, if you will, and the Lord of Lords in direction, but the Lord gave them a king. He gave them what they asked for, and can I say, in our lives, many times, we may think that there's something in our lives that we may need, and we ask God, God, give me that. I want, I need it, and we think in our minds that that's what we need, and may I say, God may do just as he did to the children of Israel and give you that. But may I say, you may find out, just like they did, that what you thought you wanted is not what you really wanted, what you were really in search for. They found out that the man of God, Samuel, that he was right. God gave them the king, and they quickly found out that, yeah, that's exactly what happened. The man of God, by the way, let me chase that for just a minute. You ought to listen to the man of God. If there's an example that we draw from this, hey, listen, God placed a man of God before you to lead you, to help you, to direct you as he would be directed by God, as he would be led by God. You ought to listen to him. And the children of Israel, they ignored what Samuel said, and exactly what Samuel had said is exactly what happened. They began to draft the sons into the army and take the daughters and use them as servants and seize their land and oppress them with taxes and things of that nature. And as we look at this man of Saul, we see a man that had an appearance of a great leader. Take your Bibles and go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9 real quick. You look at Saul, man, everybody would think, boy, this guy, he's got it all together. He's sharp. He's sophisticated. He's even spiritual, if you will. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 2. The Bible says, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. Now, I don't think we use that word much in English anymore. But he was a goodlier, the Bible says, person. There was not a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So I want you to think about a couple of things. Saul, he was what everybody was looking for. The word choice there in that verse, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 2, it comes from the word meaning bridegroom material, if you will. It carries that idea. Every man that had a daughter, he'd be looking for a man like Saul for his daughter. He was bridegroom material, friend. Listen to me. Not only that, the Bible tells us he was a goodly man. There was not a man among the children of Israel, or there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person. That word there carries the thought of he was of good quality. He was good morally. Saul was a good man. He was a clean man. He was sharp. He was sophisticated. He was spiritual, if you will. And can I say, Saul started off good. If you follow the storyline, Saul started off good. But it's not long before we see the real Saul begin to unravel. We find the words penned in chapter number 13 and verse number 23. Look there, if you will, 15 and verse number 23. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. And then also we find the words penned in verse number 35 of that same chapter. Look down just a little bit. The Bible says that Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Think about the lives of David and Saul. God would now, he's rejected Saul. Saul has disobeyed God's commands, and he's followed his own heart, if you will. And God would now choose, as we read in chapter number 13 and verse number 14, the phrase of a man after mine own heart. Samuel says, God is looking for a man after his own heart. And we know that man to be David. Paul penned the words in Acts in chapter number 13 of the same, a man after mine own heart, David. And he adds that word David there just in case you wonder who he's talking about. But if you follow the storyline, it's not hard to keep up with. And if you know anything about David, listen, you would know that it wasn't because David was free from error. David was a man just like I am. David was a man just like any other man that has ever been birthed into this earth. And David had his own set of sin and struggles and separation from the Lord. But think about David and Saul. And as I was preparing for the message, I began to think about the two. And I began to think about, man, what are the differences in the fact that God would say about Saul, I've rejected him. And then he would go on and it would say that the Lord repented that he had put Saul as king over Israel. And then of David, he would say, hey, that's a man after my own heart. And I began to think about those things, and I thought about the name Saul. You think about the name Saul. I never really thought about this until I was preparing for this message. But you think about the name Saul, there's not really anybody that I know personally that is named Saul. You think about the name Saul, and I Googled it, all right, and I found some names of people that are named Saul, but Saul's not a common name. Saul, almost you could classify it in that group of names like Judas. Nobody really names their kid Saul anymore. It's not popular. When you think about Saul, if you follow the storyline here in 1 Samuel, you think about a failure almost, for the most part. You think about a man that God chose and gave him a task, and he failed at that task. That's the thought process that comes to my mind when I think about Saul. I think about immediately, I don't think about the man Saul that we read about being a goodly man, being a sharp man, being a sophisticated man. No, I think about the man Saul that was rejected by God. That God says, Saul, no, I'm done with you. I gave you a task to do, and you didn't do it. But then on the other hand, I think about David. And I looked at the name David, and I'm not preaching this message because I'm named David. It works pretty good, but that's not the reason behind this. But I looked up the name David, and the name David is in the top six of 100 most common names that people would name their little boy. It's a very common name. You think about the name David, you think about a conqueror. You think about a great leader, if you will. You think about a man that was blessed by God. You think about David, you might even think about the fact that the very Son of God would be birthed through this bloodline of David. You think about the name of David. And I thought about the two different characters, the two different men in the Bible, Saul and David, and I thought, you know, what's the great difference between the two? Why would it be that as we look and we think about Saul, we're left with the thoughts of maybe even a bad memory? But as we think about David, man, we look back at his life and we see a lingering legacy with this man of David. And I want to summarize it this morning with just three simple thoughts. Three simple thoughts. And I want you to consider in your own life and in my own life, as I asked you the question earlier, when your time comes to an end, what will you leave behind? A bad memory or a lingering legacy? As we look to David, I see three things that make the difference in the lingering legacy and a bad memory of that of Saul. I see, first of all, I see the faith. I see David's faith. If you look at the lives of Saul and David, and we see faith exercised in the life of both. We look at Saul's life, as you follow back through the Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, you'll find that Saul's faith, it was in the power that he had. He had the power, he was king, and you know what, I don't need God, if you will. Man, I've got the power to make the decision, I've got the power to do what I want to. And that's where Saul's faith lied. Saul's faith lied in the power that he had. It lied in the people that were around him, the armies that he would build for himself in 1 Samuel chapter number 13. It lied in the position that he held as king. I'm the king. Don't you know who I am? And Saul's faith relied in the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter number 28. David's faith, can I say to you this morning, though Saul's faith rested in those things, David's faith was in God Jehovah. You look at David's life, David's faith was in God for provision. You look at Psalm chapter number 37 and verse number 25, and David says this, he says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David knew that, hey, everything that he had, it come from the hand of God. You look at David, David's faith, it was exercised in God through protection. In the book of Psalm, it's replete. Psalm chapter 7, verse number 1. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 1. Psalm 31 and verse 1. David pens these words. He says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. David's faith was in the God of heaven for provision and protection. But not only for that, but for purpose. In Psalm chapter 25, verse number 4, David says this. He says, teach me thy way. David said, hey, God, it's not about me. It's not about what I think's best, God, but what do you think's best? David's faith rested in God Jehovah. It rested in God Jehovah for provision and protection and purpose. But then it rested in God Jehovah for purging, friend. Psalm chapter number 51 and verse number 10. After David's great sin that most of us will remember, David said, hey, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. spirit within me. In David's life, friend, listen, if you'll follow it back, even before David became king, if God would place him as the king, we see that his trust is in God. Think about David in 1 Samuel in chapter number 17, as David would go before that giant, Goliath of Gath by name. And you'll remember as David shows up on the scene and all of the other men are sitting around and David hears Goliath and boy, he's just a blab and he's defying the armies of God. And David says, man, what are you guys sitting around here for? Man, get up and do something. And David volunteered, hey, if nobody else is going to shut him up, I'll shut him up. And David, he goes before Saul. And you'll remember, Saul tries to equip David. And he gives David his sword and his shield and his helmet of brass. But, you'll remember that David, he went out and David said, no, man, I haven't proved that. I can't do anything with a sword and a shield and this helmet of brass. I mean, I can't even hardly move. And David went back, and David traded all of those things back for his staff and his shepherd's bag and his sling and five smooth stones. Oh, but listen, most importantly, David traded all that back for the sovereign. David said, hey, you know what? This shield and this sword and all of these things that you've given me, they won't do much, but I know the God of heaven, and it's the God of heaven that'll protect me. It's the God of heaven that'll go before me. And David said in 1 Samuel and chapter 17 and verse number 45, he says, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Hey, listen, friend. David, his faith rested in God Jehovah. We look at the life of David and Saul. It's because of this faith in God that we look to David and we see the lingering legacy that he left behind that so many years removed. We can look at David and we can draw encouragement and we can draw strength and we can find in him the same that'll get us through every day, day in and day out. Faith in God. David trusted in faith. And can I say to you this morning as we would think about this Memorial Day weekend and those that have sacrificed their life, and we look back and we remember how that they gave their life for this country. And I ask you to think about whenever your time comes to an end and people look at you and they will decide, hey, is that a bad memory or is that a lingering legacy? Can I say to you, if you want to leave a lingering legacy, when folks do come by your casket and your body would lay there and they would look upon you and their memories would begin to be jogged, and you want to leave behind a good legacy, friend, can I say to you, hey, channel your faith in the God of heaven and earth. That's how you leave a good legacy. I see the difference in a bad memory or a lingering legacy. I see that it's in David's faith. And I say to you, talking about faith, we live in a society today in this present day where people are driven to take and place their faith in a stimulus check or in a syringe, a vaccination, listen, or in the Senate. But friend, can I tell you, there are those that even will take and place their faith in businesses and buildings and bank accounts and doctors. But friend, can I tell you, listen, David left a lingering legacy because of his faith in God. You want to leave a lingering legacy? Hey, friend, listen to me. Man, exercise your faith in God. Forget about all of those other things that that can cause you to entertain the thought of resting your faith in them and trusting God Jehovah. Friend, can I say to you, I mentioned the fact that there are those that put their faith in their bank account. And I thought about that. And you know, the fact of the matter is this. People will only remember the size of your bank account for an era. But they'll remember the size of your God for eternity. Listen, many that are spinning their wheels and trying to accrue to themselves a large bank account and this and that that would draw people's attention and they would be able to remember the whole. But friend, listen to me. Forget about that. Listen, exercise your faith in God. I wonder today, where are the Abrahams that exercise their faith in God? Where are the Josephs and the Daniels and the Gideons and the Rahabs and Esther, listen, that'll say, hey, I'll just rest my faith in God. That's where my faith belongs. I'll rest it there for those around me to see. And I'll leave a lingering legacy by leaving a legacy of a faith in God. I see the difference, number one, in a bad memory or a lingering legacy is, first of all, in David's faith. I see, second of all, the difference is in David's fruit. The difference is in David's faith, but then we see that the difference is in David's fruit. And as we continue, if we look on through the storyline of David and Saul, the difference in a bad memory and a lingering legacy with the lives of Saul and David is not only in faith, but also in the fruit. You study the lives of the two. Think about Saul. You study his life, and most of the life was spent, if you will, not all of it, but mostly, in building his own kingdom, if you will. Thinking about self, his own power, his own position, his own building his armies, man, seeing how big of an army he could build. What was in it for me? You think about the life of David. And for the greater part, David had his problems, and I mentioned that earlier. But for the greater part, David spent most of his life, if I can use this term, building God's kingdom. And the work of the Lord. It wasn't about self. And let me make a couple of statements here real quick. And let me say this. You can choose to build a legacy for the immediate, or you can choose to build a legacy for eternity. The Bible reminds us in Matthew in chapter number 6 and verse 19 and verse number 20, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor dust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Friend, can I tell you, you can choose. Do I want a legacy here? Do I want people to remember what I've done here, the monetary? Oh, do I want people to remember for eternity those things that were accomplished for God? Someone once said, you live unto yourself and you'll die unto yourself. A man by the name of Milt Rood, he was a car salesman in Spokane, Washington. And for years and years, Milt sold cars, and he was very successful. Milt also was a volunteer at the Union Gospel Mission, working with juvenile delinquents. And every week of Milt's life, Milt would go to that center, and he would teach those delinquents. He would teach them the Word of God, and he would pray with them, and he would try to direct them in the right path. One week, Milt, he began to experience some difficulties in his physical life, and he went to the doctors, and they did exploratory surgery on Milt. They opened Milt up, and immediately as they opened Milt up, they found out that he was eaten up with cancer. They decided, you know what, man, let's just sew him back up, send him home, and let him enjoy the last few days of his life. And so that's what they did. They sewed him up, sent Milt home. And for about another week or two, Milt was all right, didn't last very long, and he quickly began to decline. And after several weeks, Milt, he passed away. After the funeral, they had the funeral services, and all the family and friends and such came by, and boy, they paid their last respects. And after the funeral, it was heard that someone had said, hey, it's interesting that at the funeral, no one ever asked how many cars Milt sold. You know what was important? It was the importance was on what he did for the Lord. Listen, friend, if you look at the life of Saul, listen, you'll find that Saul builds an army for himself. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13, you can look there, and Saul becomes arrogant, and he's the king, so why not? I can go ahead and offer the sacrifice. And you'll remember in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, and he offers that sacrifice there. And then you'll learn in 1 Samuel chapter 15 that Samuel came to Saul and gave him instructions, and Saul ignored those instructions. He blatantly avoids the instruction from God, and God repents that he made Saul king, and God chooses David, and Saul then becomes bitter at David, that God has chosen David. If you look at those, boy, the key factor is that it was all about Saul, thinking about himself. You look at David, and you'll see for 1 Samuel chapter 17, you'll see that David defends God, as I've already referenced. And you'll see that David, he defeats Goliath. And in the book of 2 Samuel, you'll see how that David directs the group of those that God has put around him. And David fails God. But then in Psalm chapter 51, you'll see how that David demands grace and he determines good. David decides, hey, you know what, I'm not going to stay down. What was the difference? Well, I can tell you, friend, the difference was Saul's life was given to serve himself. David's life was given to serving the sovereign. David knew what it was to make God the priority in his life. And friend, can I tell you, today there's still a legacy that lingers when we think about the name of David. You want to leave behind a bad memory? Listen. You want to leave behind a bad memory like this man of Saul? Go ahead. Place the emphasis on a career. Listen. Go ahead and place your emphasis on nothing but that retirement. Go ahead and place your emphasis on the amusements of this world. And go ahead and pour yourself into those monetary things. And I can tell you, it won't be a lingering legacy. Or it'll be a bad memory. Folks will walk by and there'll be nothing that'll last. Those things will quickly go away. Listen, you can go ahead and I was thinking about many would strive to build a great bank account and build real estate and things of that nature. Can I say to you, those things, that bank account, that real estate and things of that nature that will be handed down to your children, can I say to you, they will be a help to them in a pinch. But can I tell you, boy, if you'll exercise your faith in God and you'll serve Him and you'll leave a legacy that it's all about Jesus Christ, hey, listen, those are the things. That's a well of water to their soul that'll last for years and years and years that they can look to and they can draw from. Can I say to you, the difference in a lingering legacy and a bad memory is that of fruit. You want to leave behind a lingering legacy. Let me just say this. Hey, build up Jesus. Make big of Jesus, friend. Listen. Hey, point others to Jesus. Give yourself to His cause. Somebody made this statement. They said, give a man a dollar and they'll remember it for an hour. Give them the gospel and they'll remember it to heaven. During the early days of the Salvation Army, and General William Booth, his associates, they had been attacked by the press, or through the press, if you will, by different religious leaders and even government leaders. And as they had been attacked, Mr. Booth's son, Bramwell, he came to Mr. Booth one day with a newspaper article, and he showed him the newspaper article about how they were being attacked. And Mr. Booth's response to Bramwell was this: Bramwell, 50 years hence, it will matter very little indeed how these people treated us, but it'll matter a great deal how we dealt with the work of God. What was he saying, friend? It's all about God. It's all about Him. Listen, friend, we're reminded in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you're here on Wednesday night, you'll be able to enjoy that study that Pastor's taking us through. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 and verse number 14, Solomon pins these words. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. I've seen it all. I've seen everything that's done under the sun. And he says this. He said, behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. We're vanity. There's the definition of little value, or worthless, or hollow, if you will. Solomon said, hey, the only thing that'll last, the only thing that really matters, and he says, it's only about what's done for eternity. That's what matters. Everything that's done under the sun, it don't amount to nothing. Hey, only what's done for Jesus. Almost as if Solomon would say, hey, you can spend your time and your money and your blood, sweat, and your tears on these things that are temporal, but at the end of the day, it's empty, friend. And can I say the same? You can spend your will with those things that are temporal. And you can invest in the work of the Lord. You can begin to build a legacy that'll last through that. That is for eternity's sake. I see the difference in leaving behind a bad memory or a lingering legacy is found, number one, in David's faith, and number two, in David's fruit. But then last of all, I see that it's found in David's finish. You look at the life of David and Saul. You can look, as you wind down toward the end of their lives, You'll see if you go to 1 Samuel chapter number 31, and I won't do it for time's sake. Some of you are already itching for lunch. You go to 1 Samuel chapter number 31, you'll find that if Saul dies, or should I say if Saul takes his life, Saul dies dirty, full of sin. He's bitter. Man, he's bitter at David and those things. Bitter at God for placing David there, maybe. But he's dirty. He's distant from God. And then we find as Saul takes his own life, he becomes dismembered by the enemy. I mean, think about the whole thing. Just a mess. Saul's life is when it comes to the sinner. You look at 1 Kings chapter number 2, as David gets ready for his time to come that he would pass on. You'll find an old gray-headed man, if you will. Man, he's been able to live a full life. Man, there's been some discouragements. There's been some trouble. There's been a lot of scars. But he's lived a long life, if you will, and David is gentle, or he's at peace with God, and David is even a godly man, as we look at him, as he hands down the torch to Solomon. He says, Solomon, hey, man, stick with this. This is where it's at. Follow the Lord. Follow his commandments. Don't stray from it, David would say. The difference in a bad memory or a lingering legacy was in part because of David's sin. David wasn't perfect, but David was persistent. By the way, God doesn't require perfection, but let me say this, he does revel in persistence. Oh, listen, he loves to see it whenever we do fail, that we'll just get back up and go on again. Don't stay down, but we'll get back up and go. And, hey, by the way, listen, that ought to encourage us, the fact that God's not requiring perfection. Hey, that means that God can still use any one of us and every one of us. Ought to be an encouragement to you. And can I say, I believe as we look at Saul's life coming to an end, David's life coming to an end, I believe with all of my heart that Saul could have picked himself up. He could have humbled himself. Listen, he could have heeded God, and God still could have used Saul to some extent. I firmly believe that. And I believe that he can do that with any one of you, any one of us that would be here. But can I say, Saul, he got bitter. Sin got the best of him, and Saul blew it. And for those that sit in the crowd today, listen, maybe you're sitting here today, and boy, as we talk about Saul, maybe it would, in your mind, cause you to think, man, I'm kind of like that. Boy, my faith hadn't been very good, and my faith hadn't been very strong in God. Boy, I don't have much fruit to show for God. And you know what, man? I used to serve the Lord, but I no longer do that. Maybe you're in that position. Friend, listen to me. You sit here in the crowd today, and maybe that would be your thoughts, and maybe you would think, man, I've messed it all up. God can never use me. Let me say this. Won't you just try God and see? Won't you just try it? I know this. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John in chapter number 1 and verse number 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I say to you this morning that David failed, but David got back up, friend. We live in a day of quitters. Talking to Brother Hannah this morning, he was going in the administrative building and talking about quitters. We live in a day where, man, if you don't like something, just quit. That's the answer. The answer's not suck it up, man. It's, hey, just quit. Just go home. Sit on your backside, don't do nothing. That's what the rest of the country's doing. Listen, we live in a day of quitters. I heard just the other day talking to somebody. Somebody was starting a new job, and they were going through an orientation process. And during that orientation process, they were told by the instructor, hey, listen, if this job's not for you, we understand. You can just quit. And in 24 hours, you can reapply. I mean, you talk about a day of quitters. Very recent here, I got news of a guy that I know very well that was saved and Lord taught him to preach, and he went to Bible college, graduated from Bible college, even went back to the area he was from and started a church. And boy, the Lord was using him. The Lord was using him to see folks saved, to see lives changed. And here not too long ago, I got word that that the gentleman just threw in the towel, turned on the Bible doctrines and any of the direction of the Bible and all of those things. He just turned on all of it. I mean, for years, I'm talking about for days, but for years, had stood with the Bible, and all of a sudden, the drop of a hat just turned from it. And in today's day, the mindset, listen, friend, is that of, hey, if you don't like the job, just quit it. Hey, listen, you know what? If you don't like the church, just leave it and go somewhere else. Just quit it. If you don't like your marriage, just quit it. Listen, we live in a day of quitters. Hey, young person, if you don't like school, just quit it. That's the day we live in. The day of quitters. If you don't like Christianity, just quit it. Whatever you don't like, hey, just quit it. It'll be okay. Just throw in the towel. But can I say to you today, friend, the Bible still says in Proverbs in chapter number 24, verse number 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Can I say to you, you want to leave a lingering legacy? Listen, when your time comes to an end, hey, listen, friend, pick yourself up and dust your breeches off and get back in the saddle and serve God with your life. David Sinek shows us why we can see a lingering legacy. Can I say to you, it's not time to give up on God. Hey, it's time to give in to God. Don't throw in the towel, young person. Hey, grandma and grandpa, don't throw in the towel. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's sitting there, and they're observing. What will he do? What will she do? What will they do? Listen, friend, and that lingering legacy, it comes by picking up your bootstraps and lacing them up, and, man, moving forward, not sitting down and putting your thumb in your mouth and quitting on God. David sinning. And I say, be like David. Be like David through the battles. Listen, through the battles. It wasn't easy for David. David, hey, listen, it wasn't a bed of roses. There were battles that David faced, and David discouraged the Lord on numerous occasions. Friend, listen to me. He was a failure, and there were heartaches that came with it, and so on and so forth. But one thing that David knew, he said, hey, I got to get back up, and I got to go on again. And David got up, and he went on for God. And I say this, a good start, it's good to start well. But it's much better to finish well. Easy to start. But boy, it takes something to finish. Listen, you think about some of those runners in the Olympics, man, as they would get into that race and they would start that race. And they'd start off, and boy, maybe halfway through, boy, they start feeling that, start to well up in the back of their leg, maybe a cramp coming. You know what? Be easy for them to say, man, I'm done with this. Are you kidding me? And I say to you, they're running for their country. They're running for a cause. And in their mind, they think, man, you know what? I'd be an idiot. I'd be an idiot to just lay down here. I mean, man, I'm here for my country. And I'm here to lift high the standard that I'm here for. Can I say to you, for any Christian, hey, can I encourage you? Hey, you're running a race for the Lord, friend. You're not just running for yourself, but you're running for the Lord. Hey, and it's an important race, and it's a great race. Hey, don't throw in the towel. Keep running the race. Good to start the race well, but it's better to finish the race well. And I say to you this morning, a bad memory or a lingering legacy? We see the difference in the faith, the fruit, and the finish. What about you this morning, sir? Ma'am, teenager, listen. Hey, it applies to you just as much as anybody else in this room. It may be that tomorrow is your day. But your life will come to an end. What will people remember about you? No matter if you're 13, if you're 18, it doesn't matter. Hey, your life's coming to an end just like anybody else's. It'll be a bad memory. Will it be a lingering legacy? What will it be? Here's the thing. Only person that determines that is me. Only person that determines that is you. You determine where you're going to exercise your faith. Hey, listen, you determine, hey, what you're going to spend your life serving. You determine, listen, you determine, am I going to just throw in a towel? Am I going to quit? Am I going to press forward? What will it be? A bad memory or a leader's legacy? Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, God. And Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, how that you can use it. And Lord, you'll speak to our hearts if we'll allow you to. God, I don't know how that you would use the message today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, those that were here, those that were joining us by way of media, that God, they would have listened to how you would speak to their hearts. God, thank you that, Lord, we can look at the life of David and Saul, and God, we can draw, examples, Lord, for our own lives. Lord, I don't think that there's anybody on the sound of my voice that purposely wants to leave behind a bad memory whenever their life comes to an end. I believe that most everyone would want to leave behind a lingering legacy. People would look to and, man, they would be encouraged and they would be motivated. And God, there are many of us, Lord, that, Lord, we're not exercising our faith in you like we should. And God, we're not making you a priority in our lives like we should. And God, there are even some that have even gotten tired of the race, and Lord, they've thrown in the towel and said, man, forget this. God, I pray that you'd use the message to speak to our hearts and encourage us this morning. Lord, if there's one here that's without Christ, I pray that they would accept Jesus Christ this morning as their Savior. God, we'll thank you for how that you'll work